Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they, all alike, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of ox, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you order has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house will be filled. For I tell you, none of those who are invited will taste my dinner.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you turn on my wireless phone, microphone,
we can't use that.
No.
No.
Wow.
Project.
Yeah. Today's, can you hear me well? Today's scripture, Luke chapter 14, begins with the following story. When Jesus visited the house of a well-known Pharisee on the Sabbath, his critics were waiting to see if Jesus would heal a sick man on the Sabbath, in order to accuse him of violating Sabbath law. The Lord knew all this, but Jesus anyway healed a man suffering from dropsy. Then Jesus asks them if healing on the Sabbath was lawful. They refused to answer. Jesus again pointed out the hypocrisy of those who take care of animals on the Sabbath, but not for needy people. As mealtime approached, Jesus noticed some guests choosing the place of honor at the table. Then Jesus warned that those whose sick status or prestige are in danger of being humiliated. God exalts only those who willingly take the lowest place. Jesus had also warned the host of the house. The reason for feasting should not be to win favor with people who can be of use to him. Rather, he should do good out of genuine love, not expecting anything in return. In verse 15, today's scripture, one of the guests, hearing Jesus' words about feasting, tried to impress the Lord with this comment: "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." In reply, Jesus quoted today's passage, which called the parable of the great banquet. Jesus linked the kingdom to a feast to which many were invited. However, verse 18 says, but they all alike began to make excuses. Focus on the word all. Not one, not two, not three, all. One man explains that he's just bought some property and he needs to go check it out. One man says that he's just purchased oxen and he's headed to try them out. One man said he just got married, so he cannot come. Now, each of them is very polite in their refusal. Please excuse me. But they all reject the generous offer of the host. These three representative excuses are all inadequate. The one who bought a field could have seen it and another time. The one who just bought, who bought the oxen, could go examine them at another time. The one who just got married wasn't forbidden to come to a social event. These verses speak to how many in Israel, including the leaders and other important people, didn't have time for Jesus. Why didn't they have time? Because they were caught up in their ugly lives with finances and possessions and family with getting married and the responsibility of family life. They were so immersed in this life that they reject God's call to the kingdom back. And this is exactly what was happening in this stage of Jesus' ministry. In particular, the leaders and other prominent people of the nation, not only did they not accept the invitation to participate in the kingdom of God, but they also were plotting to get rid of Jesus in order to retain their privileges and wealth. Now, verse 21 says, the owner of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. The owner is angry at their unjustified rejection, yet he has a meal ready and really wants to share it. So he instructs his servant to go find some other people. And the servant is to do this quickly because the meal is ready. This second round of summons focuses on the city, streets, and lanes. The servant is to bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. Those who were more upper class rejected the invitation. So now those who are rejected by society, the lowering, needy, and broken are invited to come. Verse 22 continues. The servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the owner said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and urge people to come in, that my house may be filled. The owner really doesn't want any empty seat. compared to this owner. I'm very generous. I don't mind empty seats. I just love you who can display it, right? That's important. So, owner sends out his servant a third time. If before the focus was on the streets and lanes of the city, now the highways and hedges seem to refer to more rural areas outside of the city. Lastly, verse 24 says, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Here Jesus identifies himself as the owner of the store by calling the great banquet at the end of this verse as my banquet. Jesus is saying that those who were chosen to be invited, who assumed they would attend, certainly the leaders and supposedly devout ones of Israel, people like the Pharisees, they refused Jesus' invitation. And having rejected him, they certainly will not taste of kingdom banquet on the final day. Consequently, the religiously respectable people were left out of the kingdom, but outcasts such as a beggars, tax collectors, and prostitutes were included. Even Gentiles from far off places accepted the invitation that the Jews refused. What can we learn from this parable? First, don't make assumptions about your place at the banquet. Anyone can fool themselves. The key is simple. Simply this: how have you responded to Jesus' invitation to repent and be a part of the kingdom of God? Second, Jesus really wants his house to be full. The ultimate reference is to the final day and the great feast. But for now, it refers to his churches, the community of his kingdom people, who celebrate his meal, Lord's Supper, as an anticipation of that final feast. Jesus wants every seat filled on that day, the final day, and every seat filled among his congregations who await that day. Third, our job is to invite people to the banquet. We are the servants in this story. As the parable teaches, we must go out into the streets and lanes and into the highways and hedges, into the city and into the country, that is all over the world. People will not come to our church if we stay to ourselves. We have to go to them, find them, invite them. And we are to keep inviting, even if those we most expect to respond reject the invitation. Just as in the parable, those who are doing well in terms of this life often don't see their need because they are caught up in the things of this life and thus will reject our invitation. So when this happens, we make sure we are inviting those who know their needs and are more likely to come. Lastly, we are to urge people to come. The owner of the banquet tells his servant to urge them to come in. God is proactively searching for the least and the lost, and modeling what he expects that his followers will do. So God keeps sending out his servants to make that happen. Dear congregants, our Lord invites us to his heavenly banquet today. As we learned from the parable today, this banquet is open to us, to everyone in the world. Our Lord wants his church to be filled with people who are hungry for a holy meal and joyfully feed us. Today is the day Christians all over the world, regardless of denomination, will celebrate World Communion Sunday and confess that we belong to one body of Christ. Even though we use the same liturgy of the Holy Communion over and over again. Whenever we stand at the table of his meal, we feel God's presence touch our hearts mysteriously and experience God's kingdom in our midst. There is a story of a little girl whose parents took her to worship with Holy Communion. She was disappointed when the pastor broke the bread, small piece, and dipped in a cup and gave it to her. Then she cried out loudly, "I want more! I want more!" Her parents may have been embarrassed, but don't you think this little girl accurately portrays the feelings of many Christians? We want more. We are hungry. We want to be fed. This doesn't mean we merely want to have Holy Communion more often. Rather, it reveals a deep hunger for the riches of divine grace made available to us through the Holy. For real communion with God, with others, and around the world. As the pastor in charge of the outreach ministry at my former church, I went to a nursing home with the nursing home ministry team and led communion service once a month. One day after communion, someone asked me to visit a young man in another room who was paralyzed from a car accident and give the communion elements to him. I thought that it was unusual for a young man to be admitted to a nursing home. As I entered his room,
and saw all the prayers and scriptures on the words of his womb. My heart felt so compassionate towards him. I looked at him and prayed fervently for his healing. But he didn't respond at all. I dipped the bread into the cup and then his lips with it. All of a sudden, tears came out of his eyes. The church member who took me to his room was surprised to see him tearing and told me that he never showed any emotion before. God works amazingly in our midst as we eagerly participate in the kingdom banquet. At that very moment, I felt the presence of God in the room, touching this young man's soul. Since that day, I have been standing at the table, Lord's table, every time I lead Holy Communion, anticipating the same presence of God as that day coming upon us all. Although we cannot see it with our eyes, we believe that the Holy Spirit will touch the heart, body, and soul of someone in need of healing at that time. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we prepare for the Holy Communion, let us open our hearts and minds to the presence of the Lord, who is our Redeemer, Savior, Healer, and Provider. I hope that we take part in the Lord's Supper with earnestness and humility, just like the disciples who shared the last meal with Jesus. Would you do that? Would you do that?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. It's not just a monthly thing we do. It's a heavenly banquet coming from the Lord to us. So let us be ready. Let us be ready.